6 weeks ago, this day seemed so far away. And here we are, having observed Lent. Now, Lent is kind of officially over, and we're in this sacred Triduum, which is a kind of a unified liturgical time, beginning this evening and concluding with the Easter Vigil. And tonight's Mass really has three elements to it that we're, in fact, the priest is directed to remind the people about and to explain them about. It's the institution of the priesthood, the institution of the Holy Eucharist, and the service, the importance of charity, of service, which I think the washing of the feet that we'll carry out during the Mass will hopefully be a sufficient homily or sermon about that. It'll be very visual, reminding us all that we are to be servants of one another, but also particularly reminding the priest that he is to be a servant of the people. I really wanted to kind of share with you and repeat with you, with not with the same eloquence that the Archbishop explained it at the Chrism Mass last Monday, but his reflections on the priesthood. For at the Chrism Mass called a Chrism Mass because of the blessing of the oils, particularly that oil of Chrism, which is going to be used at the Easter Vigil on those who are going to be baptized and confirmed. And it's also used to anoint the hands of the priests when the priest is ordained. But at the Chrism Mass, the priests all renew their priestly promises. I have to confess that I've renewed these promises now every year at Chrism Masses for 26 or 27 years of my priesthood, probably 27. And in fact, on this Mass of the Lord's Supper, the day of the institution of the priesthood, I like to wear the chasuble that I was vested in at my ordination Mass, and in fact, the same alb 27 years ago. They're doing well. And to remind me of my own priesthood, but also that today is a special day. This is the institution of the sacred priesthood. And I just want everybody to know that, like any walk of life, the priest has to bear the cross. There is certainly suffering in his life, but immense joy is the overwhelming thing. I'd like anyone here, anyone who can, to consider their vocation to the priesthood, particularly the young. At the Chrism Mass, the Archbishop asks us priests whether we are prepared to resolve to renew in the presence of him and God's holy people the promises you once made. And of course, we all said, I am. All right, so there's that prelude. Well, what are the promises that we made on the day of ordination? The candidate for ordination is asked seven questions. First of all, whether he'll work as a fellow worker with the order of bishops for the Lord's flock. So there is that collaboration with the bishop as the chief shepherd in the diocese, and all the priests are supposed to work together with him, worthy. In other words, we're supposed to live lives befitting our state as priests and be fellow workers with the bishop. No lone rangers. You know, although I have full faculties to exercise my ministry in this parish, I can't say this is my parish and whatever the bishop says doesn't matter. He's up there in Portland. No, I have to be united with him, be a fellow worker with him. Then I'm asked, do you resolve to exercise the ministry of the word worthily, wisely, preaching the gospel and teaching the Catholic faith? So is that teaching element of the priestly ministry as well, preaching the gospel, teaching the Catholic faith. No other thing am I permitted to teach or authorized to teach, but to exercise that ministry of the word in teaching. Then the candidate is asked, do you resolve to celebrate faithfully and reverently, in accord with the Church's tradition, the mysteries of Christ, especially the sacrifice of the Eucharist and the sacrament of reconciliation, for the glory of God and the sanctification of the Christian people? There are all the other sacraments, of course, but the priest's life is basically taken up sacramentally with the celebration of the Holy Mass and forgiving the sins of the people in the sacrament of confession. So to celebrate those faithfully and reverently. In fact, in renewing the promises, we were all asked on Monday, are you resolved to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God in the Holy Eucharist and the other liturgical rites, and to discharge faithfully the sacred office of teaching, following Christ the head and shepherd, not seeking any gain, but moved only by the zeal for souls? These mysteries, which is what the liturgical acts are, their mysteries are to be faithfully stewarded. We're supposed to receive them, take care of them, and make them available to the people and prepare them as well. You know, to be careful of getting overused to sacred things. Then, of course, we're asked, do you, as a sign of your interior dedication to Christ, are you resolved to remain celibate for the sake of the kingdom and in lifelong service to God and mankind? Very beautiful charism of the Western Church is this gift of celibacy, for by it the priests are more perfectly united with Christ himself, who is celibate, and then they are able to manifest more perfectly that spousal relationship with the people. There is no one competing for the heart of the priest, no pillow talk going on at night. It's totally for the people, undivided heart. And it's like any walk of life, it can present its difficulties at times, its struggles, but overall it is a wonderful gift and affirmation of who we are as other Christs for the people. And it's for the sake of the kingdom, not so we can have our bachelor lives, but rather for the sake of the kingdom, so that we can be disturbed in the middle of the night and serve the people if they need us at any time, day or night. The fifth question that we're asked at our ordination is, do you resolve to implore with us God's mercy upon the people entrusted to your care by observing the command to pray without ceasing? Prayer without ceasing. Unceasing prayer is part of the priest's call and the part of his vocation. And this is key to a priest's life. You know, a priest might run into difficulties when he gives up his prayers or doesn't remain faithful to the regime of prayer that he's called to, which is at the very minimum praying the divine office, but also spending time in prayer with the Lord, to pray without ceasing. And this is also a sign of being united with our Lord. The Archbishop asked us on Monday, are you resolved to be more united with the Lord Jesus and more closely conformed to him, denying yourselves and confirming those promises about sacred duties towards Christ's church, which prompted by love of him, you willingly and joyfully pledged on the day of your priestly ordination? That really struck me, because by our sacramental ordination, we are objectively conformed to Christ the head. We are objectively made one with him. But yet there is this personal work to be done in being united more and more with the Lord, being of one heart and mind with him, so that you, the people, may see in the priest the Lord Jesus, not so much the person who is occupying the office of priest, but the Lord himself. So there is an unceasing prayer required of us, because one of our principal calls is to intercede for the people of God. And the sixth question we're asked at our ordination is, do you resolve to be united more closely every day to Christ the High Priest, who offered himself for us, to us as the pure sacrifice, and with him to consecrate yourselves to God for the salvation of all? It's our total unity, our total desire to be one with Christ every day to make further progress in that identification with Christ the High Priest. Then finally, the seventh question that we're asked at our ordination mass, one we were already asked at our diaconate ordination, is, do you promise respect and obedience to me and my successors? I sometimes joke with Archbishop Sample, I actually didn't promise obedience to you, because I was ordained in another archdiocese, and I promised obedience to Archbishop Michael Bowen and his successors. But with the excardination, incardination comes the implied promise, from now on I'm going to obey this successor of the apostles. So that's something of what we took on our day of ordination. And every year we're asked to renew those promises. And Archbishop Sample reminded everybody gathered that you too will be renewing promises at Easter. One of you here, will be making those promises for the first time as you prepare for baptism, Renee. You'll be making those baptismal promises for the first time. But the rest of us, the rest of you, and the two who are to be received into the church, Les and Kristen, who are also here tonight, they will renew those baptismal promises. And Archbishop Sample has asked all the faithful of the Archdiocese of Portland, when you come to renew your promises this Easter, renew them like you've never renewed them before. Renew them with a full heart. Think of what baptism means for you. Think of the transformation of your life that it means, that you are made from one who is not a child of God, who is outside of friendship with God, in original sin, forgiven of sins, washed clean of your sins, brought into the family of the church, anointed as Christ, priest, prophet, and king, and with confirmation called to spread the gospel and to live a life in accordance with the dignity of the baptized. And you will be asked again, you know, do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his empty show? And we know we all fall into sin. And we have the beautiful sacrament of confession to find forgiveness and healing from the sins that we, unfortunately, we do fall back into. But we have to renounce those sins. And so when you renew your baptismal promises at Easter, the Easter Vigil or Easter Sunday morning, make that renunciation like you've never made it before. Really mean it with all the power of your will, knowing that might seem impossible, but with the grace of God, all things are possible. Just as humanly speaking, it's impossible to live up to all the demands of the priesthood, but with the grace of God, everything is possible. And at the Chrism Mass, the Archbishop asked all the people present whether they, he asked them to pray for your priests, that the Lord may pour out his gifts abundantly upon them and keep them faithful as ministers of Christ the High Priest, so they may lead you to him who is the source of salvation. So please pray for me and pray for every priest. Maybe pray for any priest you know or don't know who's having a difficult time, who might be struggling in one way or another, and support him with charity and with forgiveness. Okay? Forgive your priests. All right, they have their limitations, they have their faults and failings, they're not saints, and we are the community of forgiveness and reconciliation. And maybe the most difficult thing sometimes is for people to forgive their priests, but that's what you're called to do. Forgive us when we don't live up to your expectations and the expectations of God, that with the grace of God, we may still be able to, imperfect as we are, be instruments to lead you to our blessed Lord. And then the people were also asked to pray for the Archbishop himself, that I may be faithful to the apostolic office entrusted to me in my lowliness, that in your midst I may be made day by day a living and more perfect image of Christ the priest, the good shepherd, the teacher, and the servant of all. Please pray for Archbishop Sample. We're so fortunate to have a pastor, a shepherd like him in this archdiocese, and he knows of your prayers, and he receives so many signs of consolation through the prayers, the intercession of the people of God. But let's not give up our prayers for him. And remember that the priesthood is here primarily for the people of God. The priest is not ordained for his own sake. He's ordained for service to the people of God, for their sanctification, and for the celebration of the sacraments. And tonight you will celebrate this Holy Mass. The Lord is not here present sacramentally right now. The church is without the Blessed Sacrament. It will be like that institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper. He will come to us truly present under the appearances of bread and wine, in order that we might have, as we prayed in the Collect of Mass, the fullness of charity the love of God, and life. And then he'll be taken through the church to the altar of repose, which is looking particularly beautiful this year. Thank you to the sacristans who worked so hard. I told them, you know, it looks better every year, so next year it's got to be even better. Right? So they're making it impossible for themselves. It looks beautiful. And the idea is that the Lord is there in the altar of repose, and we're asked, could you watch with me for 1 hour? Could you watch for me with 1 hour? If you can spend some time tonight before our Lord in the altar of repose, whether straight after Mass, or you may go out and do something, maybe even get a bite to eat or whatever, go home, then come back and spend time with our Lord as he is in the garden preparing for the Passion, which we will commemorate tomorrow in the Good Friday liturgy.